This is the Order of Battle. Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. I have not been grabbing a whole lot of G.I. Joe lately, but just recently I tossed the hammer at Alexander. And so he's been all over the house with this thing, loaded down with figures. The storylines are erupting.
The hammer is a very awesome vehicle. I know it has a lot of love in the community. The picture you shared with me with what seemed like 50 Joes just inside, standing on a side of arming guns, like, I could see how that one vehicle would just completely just dominate the play patterns.
It's super incredible. I'm glad I waited till he was a little older before giving it to him, because those back doors are still pretty tight and trying to slide open and close. Those foot pegs are also tight, and so there was that conversation of, with the foot pegs. Pay attention to the color plastic of the figure you're about to put on a foot peg. Make sure that that figure is no older than 1989 before you put him on a foot peg, which he already knows. He was the one that wanted to take the antenna off before he started playing, which kind of goes back to the same thing we've talked about before of, like, I love that he's that cognizant, but also there's a little bit of me that goes, oh man, that he's more concerned with the value than the play. I don't know. There's a thin line there. I'm not sure how to navigate it, but certainly since I don't want to have to buy an antenna twice, I'm happy to take it off.
I mean, he still plays. When we went down the Brazilian Sky Patrol, or when I say we, when you went down the vintage Brazilian Sky Patrol, like, he still put those guys in Sky Strikers and flew them around. So,
oh, absolutely.
There is a very interesting and unique balance with him and being a kid, but then still also being aware enough to know, like, yes, and normally this figure would be a display figure, but if I'm putting him inside of a vehicle cockpit and not putting accessories in his hands, what's the real risk? So let's fly.
Absolutely correct. And we are still playing with the Brazilian figures. Adding the hammer to it isn't even the most off-the-wall thing that he plays with anyway. It's just the newest.
I think that the hammer is also kind of that nice marriage between, like, over-the-top stupid guns and, like, a realistic Humvee. And I say that with love. It's a sharp vehicle, and the first thing I said about it was, yeah, I could see why, you know, how that would dominate a play pattern for a month straight.
Most of the guns on Joe vehicles are ridiculous.
It's part of the charm.
Yeah, absolutely part of the charm. It's what makes it fun. When he first put his hands on the hammer, he had to go get the appropriate year figures to put on the hammer, which I also find a bit funny, but that's what he does.
You've presented all of the tools that you could ever want. You know, he has guidebooks, he has art books, he has pretty much anything G.I. Joe-centric paper-wise, or book-wise, I should say, you're either own or adamantly trying to own. Have you guys got anything else Joe in, or any other toys in, period? Or has it been prepping for the next show?
A lot has been prepping for the next show. I was able to grab one of the mask adventure packs that I was missing. So that's three down out of the four US. The one thing that I couldn't let slide was I had an opportunity on the Fun School Battlehawk. I've been looking for one for a couple years now, since I think 2018 when I started looking for one. And I've missed a few, and I've had opportunities on a couple that were pretty rough. This was nice and clean. I love the look of the Battlehawk. It's wonky as hell, and it has the same look as the G.I. Joe Extreme helicopter jets. What I didn't realize after all the pictures I've looked at, the research and everything else, was just how enormous that cockpit is.
You obviously showed me on camera because I had no idea what the vehicle was until you were like, hey, I'm about to grab this. And you sent me a picture. And I was like, well, that's pretty hot. You just had a classified trooper in the seat, but you could not close the canopy.
I don't even remember the guy's name, but I threw the leader of the G.I. Joe Extreme team. I threw his figure in the cockpit, and he's got the one straight leg and the one bent out leg at a really awkward angle. It's very yoga pose. And he fits. Can't slide down and sit down in it because his legs are in a wonky position. But even with his knee jutting out to the side, like, he fits in that cockpit. It's enormous. So I grabbed a 6-inch classified figure, threw it in, straight legs. He fits perfect. You can't close the canopy. The canopy is too flat. With his legs all the way bent up and him slouching down a little bit to the side, you can just get that canopy closed. So if you leave the canopy off, it's kind of the Fang 3, I guess.
It would be really cool if somebody unearthed where exactly that was supposed to be. Whether it was designed for G.I. Joe Extreme and there was a specific pilot design that was posed to sit. I mean, I would just love to know what was going on.
Yeah.
I also had a pretty exciting mail week. I finally got Animal Warriors of the Kingdom and my Zika Captain Action figures.
All 300 of them?
All 300. I believe it was 24.
Ooh.
I've said this on here before, but any of these smaller toy lines, or even, honestly, even G.I. Joe at this point, everything goes into a hot water bath for me.
I find that incredible because as an O-ring collector, I've never hot water bathed anything. And even with you telling me that I need to do that when I have like a 4-inch or a 6-inch figure, I'm a little nervous to drop it in boiling water, which I'm clearly wrong.
You definitely don't leave it in for long. You can just blast it with a hairdryer, same thing. I think it's a lot to do with the new style of kind of how the new figures are like plasticky, rubbery. It's not the same as like 4-inch G.I. Joe is hard plastic. We're kind of engineered to swivel a little bit. So I got all these figures open. That was a very fun, like, half hour of me just cutting the bubbles on the Captain Action figures or undoing the packaging for the Animal Warriors figure. And I had this giant metal mixing bowl, and I have one of those, like, instant water boilers. Once I did that, and all the figures were loosened up and moving right, both of these toy lines have really good articulation, and they both have different articulation. Like, they have different torso setups.
Do any of them use a torso setup that I would be familiar with? I guess that would be the waist. The torso is more of like the chest cut versus the other thing, right?
Yeah, Captain Action uses a ball and socket on the lower waist. So it emulates an O-ring, but it's just a peg in a ball. It's the same thing as Marauder Task Force and Fresh Monkey Fiction.
Or the 6-inch classified.
Or 6-inch classified, but neither MTF or Zika have a chest cut or a torso cut. It is just a solid torso piece, similar to an O-ring Joe.
How does that work with the hyper articulation and realistic photography poses that a lot of these figures are trying to get to?
The torso cut on both an Animal Warriors figure or a modern G.I. Joe or even Boss Fight probably has the best range, but it's not a cut like a classified figure. There isn't a hinge. It's still a ball joint. It's just a ball joint in a different place.
I got you.
I think it works really well with these Captain Action figures and with the Marauder figures. Like, you can hunch it over like an O-ring figure. In some ways, it looks more natural. In other ways, it doesn't. You know, you can manipulate these figures quite a bit. The Captain Action ones are, for me at least, I could actually kind of forget that it's basically all the same buck with a couple different options other than the head. I don't know. They just, like, there's just something about them. I just love looking at them.
So they're just charming right out of the package.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm also really hyped up on the Boss Fight Phantom figure that's coming. I've been strolling around trying to find the NECA Phantom figure. That is where, like, what I'm excited about right now. I mean, I have, you know, there's the Flash Gordon figure coming. Like, I'm really into this weird comic strippy, like, pulp aesthetic. That's what I'm really, like, hyped on right now. Also paired in with the Animal Warriors pseudo Planet of the Apes / Savage Land Warriors. I don't know. Like, I have a lot of fun ideas that I'm hoping to get to with these Animal Warrior figures. But I did want to say that one of my figures came with two left hands.
The Zika or the Animal?
This is Animal Warriors, the Spearow. It's not a big deal. All of these things are like interchangeable. Most of these companies have parts bins. I had a small issue with a boss fight figure, and they just sent me a replacement part. So I had emailed him, and in less than 12 hours, he sent me... Basically, I paid shipping, and he sent me a whole nother figure.
Wow.
I'm saying, like, I sent this email at, like, 10 p.m., and at, like, 8:30 or 9 a.m., I had, hey, I'm really sorry to hear that. Like, let me just hook you up with this, you know, and then a week later, a figure showed up.
Are you going to bring him the figure with two left hands at Joe Fest?
He was kind enough to tell me to keep the figure for spare parts. What I did ended up doing with that figure is a while back, I had bought a bunch of stuff from a guy, and he sold me a lot of, like, random parts. And in that random parts lot, there is a cybernetic Joy Toy arm. Luckily, it was the right arm, and, you know, I was missing a right hand. So I popped the arm out of the ape, and I put in the cybernetic arm, and it looks very cool to me.
So you didn't do just the hand. You didn't Luke Skywalker him. You did the full arm.
Yeah, I thought it would look really goofy with, like, the furry arm and then just this, like, mechanical hand. Luckily, the shoulder system was very similar, and the pegs were about the same size. So I just heated it up, popped the arm out, popped the arm in. Now I have this, like, badass cybernetic arm gorilla man.
Now he needs a name, a job, and somebody to fight.
I will eventually draft up something in my head that floats there for, you know, the next few years until I get around to actually doing something, but I'll never forget it. Kind of in the same style of things, I guess, I was bombing around this weekend, and I went into this, like, collectible store that I run into, like, once every couple of years. Every once in a while, I'll find something. And this time, I found this really cool Indiana Jones playset from the modern Kingdom of the Crystal Skull era of the toys.
So the movie that doesn't exist has a good toy that does exist.
Well, because within this toy line, they brought forward toys from every movie.
Oh, nice.
This playset, the Lost Temple of Akado, essentially it's like a mountain with like a temple doorway, and you hit a switch and it launches a boulder out. I knew it existed, but I had kind of written it off. The people who collect them seek them out. I mean, it was a big toy line, but it doesn't, like, you don't see them that often at shows, or at least at Joe shows. And I had seen one online, and it kind of fits great with, like, the Adventure Team fantasy world I want to build. And, like, I love getting these bigger set pieces that are kind of like half of a diorama already made.
And this is of the Crystal Skulls or of the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
It comes in a Kingdom of the Crystal Skull box, but it's, I think the playset is based on
Raiders.
Yes.
I wasn't sure because the picture you sent me had Shia LaBeouf in it.
That figure was not supposed to come with the playset. It was just a bonus toss-in in the box.
Oh, okay.
It was only Indy and, like, a Temple Warrior that came with the playset.
The Temple looked cool, and the Nazi chick and Shia LaBeouf looked cool as well for what they are.
They're very cool background figures. I wish I would have grabbed more years back when they were at discount stores. But the articulation is not as good as a modern Joe, so I kind of, like, snub my nose to it. But now I'm like, this is some pretty good background figures. Like, not every figure has to be, like, an articulated masterpiece, especially when they were sitting at, like, $3 to $4 at a discount store. I had another very cool come-up that kind of all ties into this. I'm going to eventually use this playset for the Phantom Adventure Team.
It fits.
It fits a lot of different things. It would even just fit standard Bonner Joe's as well. I'm a big fan of the Brooder toy lines, which we've talked about. They just released a yellow Jeep Rubicon. I have a few Adventure Team stickers ready to go. I would be a complete buffoon to not grab this Jeep that's already yellow and just throw the sticker on.
You don't even have to rattle can it.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome to see with the Adventure Team logo on it.
The stickers I have are pretty small. I got them when the club was going out. I can find some water slide decals, which I would have to figure out how to apply. Or I guess I could hit up Cobra stickers and see what they have. But I kind of want a slightly bigger one for the hood. The size of the ones I have would be perfect for the doors.
You could also look for Appalachian Trail in the right colors, since they use the same logo setup as Adventure Team.
Oh, I did not know that. That's not a bad idea.
Just gotta find the right color set.
In the madness of these packages and strolling around, I actually did manage to get some G.I. Joe as well. My retro fangs were delivered.
I still haven't seen those in stores. I'm very curious.
Well,
okay.
They are what they are.
Next.
I'll just give my brief review. Not that we're a review show, but hey, why not? I think the body is goofy, which we've already talked about. The real thing that was a gut punch is that the skids right out of the box were warped, and they're very thin. I was like, you know, I'm not even going to put the stickers on.
You have two of them. Are the skids on both of them warped and flimsy?
I didn't open the second one because I don't even know if I'm going to hold on to it.
Okay.
Also within this realm, I stumbled into the Retro Duke and the Retro Cobra Commander. I originally was not going to get Duke, but the side of me that just has to have the entire line.
So you got O-Face Duke in the bondage harness.
Yeah, with suicide wrists and no jump pack. I also got the Cobra Commander, and it's the same as the Missile Command SDCC.
Which you have a few of those, right?
No, I have one of the Commander, and I have a bunch of the Troopers.
Ah.
The SDCC one has the Mickey logo. Because, like I said, it's not my favorite build. It's not awful. It's just not one that I love.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I guess kind of keeping rolling with the G.I. Joe toy announcements and finding. Or you think you're going to try to grab the Mezco Destro?
I don't know. I want to say yes, but that weird smiling face is awful.
Well, it's an alternative head.
It is an alternative head, but it's abhorrent and distracting. So, maybe. The rest of it's awesome, but also, is that another 1/12 scale or is that a 1/6 scale?
It is 6-inch-ish.
So I already have a 1/12 scale Destro. I need to look up when the release date is, and, you know, if something else is on the vine, then I may skip it. If I don't have anything else on the vine, I might grab it. What about you? Are you going to pick it up?
I bought a buddy of mine, the Mezco 1/12 Collective, Jason Voorhees. I had been curious about Mezco. They did a Nosferatu last summer that I was just really drawn to and kind of regret not grabbing. These are sometimes triple digit, very nice, very high-end collectible figure. So like you and I have talked about, it's kind of one of those hard numbers where it's like, well...
Get in on the pre-order or skip it altogether?
Yes, exactly. Seeing the Jason Voorhees figure in hand, it is really cool. The clothes are tailored very well. A lot of soft goods in certain scale figures don't look good.
See, that is what interests me and sort of compels me to want to get it the most.
Me too. I'm going to try. If I can get in on the pre-order, I will get it. I know a lot of this Mezco stuff goes like really fast and is like has a really high resale value. I hope it does well enough that we get more characters. So I have followed from the sidelines Mezco for a couple of years. You know, I'm not the world's biggest Punisher fan, but they did a Punisher that is probably one of the coolest action figures I've ever seen. The deluxe version came with like a duffel bag with weapons and money, and he came with like a beat up black and blue face, and just like, it looks like a deluxe 12-inch figure shrunk down into a 6-inch figure, which is pretty much what they do. The articulation is crazy. The detail and the weapons and the effects, like that Punisher particularly came with like pistols and blast effects and shotguns and like all this really cool stuff.
So I'm going to ask the dumb question. Is it playable?
I think it's semi-playable.
And I say dumb because I know like that scale and these companies aren't making things for play. They're making them for display or for Dio.
Well, yeah, they're for like toy photographers really and adult collectors. In a pipe dream scenario, I would love to see what they could do with a guy like Outback.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Because if they did a head sculpt kind of like the club's Tiger Force head sculpt, like just that little gruff style with the nice detail, I could just see, like, you know, his backpack, you could open it and there'd be all this cool survival gear in there and, like, he'd have a rope that slings over his shoulders. Like, even if Destro does well, I don't think Outback is going to be, you know, in the top 10 figures to be made.
Yeah, Outback's more of a maybe a high B or a mid C grade character in terms of common usage. We all love him, but
like that would be my dream. And this is solely based on this Punisher figure that just it came loaded is the best way I can describe it. Like just so cool.
Bringing up Outback, I don't know if you've gotten this far in the comics where they introduce him.
I have not.
He comes out of the mountains, flops down, and takes a nap on the back of the Havoc or some whatever what they're driving down through the mountains. That's the Outback you want to see. Dirty and pit-stained and, you know, not a full manicured beard, but a been out in the wilderness beard and mud on the boots kind of thing.
Even for classified, I mean, I just would love to see, like, any sort of super detail-oriented Outback.
If you do Outback, are you throwing Alpine and Hit and Run and Rock Vipers all in there so that...
In my, you know, Mezco fantasy draft, it would be a theme. You know, we'd have everybody you just said.
I do like that fantasy draft. You might have sold me on the Mezco Destro just thinking about the soft goods and the fantasy draft of the Wilderness Joes and a Rock Viper. Coming up in the next week or so is the Trinity Toy Show and Swap in Alabama, like Florence Trinity area. And then a week after that is Toylana. Trinity is a small show. And then Toylana, it's on the books. We're going to go do that. I'm intending to bring A to that as well. That's going to be good proving ground for him to go to Joe Fest, right? It's another 3-day show. It's not like Kentucky on a Winterfest where we were just there for a day and a half. And it's a lot bigger. So with those coming up, I've really not done a ton of toy. Recently, our buddy Kickley put out another one of his bootleg books, and this one was about robots, or more specifically, it was about Japanese mecha. And I had him do a Galactic Gale Baxinger for me. It's a weird Japanese mech. I've never seen the cartoon, but we have the figure. The figure is 5 motorcycles that all combine into one giant robot.
So it's Motorcycle Voltron. I'm with it. What scale are the motorcycles?
Oh, they're tiny, but A has put the dreadnoughts on these motorcycles. I mean, they look silly, but they're dreadnoughts.
Are they like motorized battle pack small or smaller?
The little backpack motorcycle from that run, they're a little bit bigger than that.
Okay.
But they're not meant for 3 3/4 Joes, so the seats aren't, like, bigger than that. It still looks odd. For whatever reason, in America, it's also called Mustanger.
All right.
Sure. I've never seen the cartoon or the anime. I'm holding the figure in my hand. I'm holding the art in my hand. I'm talking to A about it. He asks about the anime. So we jump on and we try to find it. I found it streaming. We haven't watched the whole run yet, but the first episode I found was episode like 11 or 12. From that, I was able to find the whole series. This anime came out in 82.
Good year.
Good year. The 11th or 12th episode, dude, this is, I have to tell you about this because it is wild. The Galactic Gale Force are these 5 people, like 4 dudes and a gal. They ride on motorcycles, the ones that create Baxinger. But they ride with a motorcycle gang. Each one of them has a grip of people on like purple motorcycles riding around behind them. The episode I watched had some interplanetary politics going on where some politician was trying to pass some laws or rob the cookie jar or something. That politician had his own biker gang. And of course, they're firing lasers at each other while riding motorcycles and talking bad to each other. And sometimes the motorcycles fly. And at one point, near the end, they've stopped an insurrection, an uprising. One of the bad guys' little brother, who he tries to like shunt off to the side to be safe, is in with the uprising. Big bro, this is who I am. I get down. I shoot people. It all comes out so like this one main bad guy, who really hasn't been in the episode much other than torturing one of the Galactic Gale guys. So there's torture in this. Once he gets captured and defeated, in silhouette, he kills himself.
What?
This is a 1982 anime for kids. The main bad guy of the episode is defeated and captured and was like, I guess I've lost everything. Pop to the face. we just watched this, and I look over at Alexander, and he's like, did he just kill himself? Yes, he did. Yes, that's just what happened. That's not really the way, is it? No, buddy, it's not. Can we watch the rest of the season? Wait.
I mean, it sounds awesome.
I'm going to go back and watch the rest of the series. I'll shoot you a link. I can't tell you it's good.
Is the animation style similar to, like, Speed Racer?
Speed Racer's much older.
Okay. I thought that, but I wasn't...
Being early 80s, it has a bit of that thin, wispy body movement, like War of the Planets or like Sailor Moon or Lupin the Third. It's got that tall wispiness, but then everybody is in very regal. It's not like Lupin where it's kind of gritty looking. It's more everybody's in regal outfits. Again, I can't tell you it's good. I can tell you it's wild.
Okay, it sounds awesome.
It's going to be fun to sit down and watch the rest of this series. If in episode 11, bad guys are offing themselves from getting captured, I have no idea what the rest of the series is going to be like. It only ran for a year, like 82 to 83. And I don't know anybody else that's heard of it. I'm sure I'm not alone out here. The robots aren't cheap, but they're also not rare variant Voltronic expensive, so I don't know.
You kind of have this like weird thing where you find these bizarre 80s anime. You're like, yeah, I just had to hunt down this playset that I never knew existed, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this one, and I'm currently trying to find a second one.
That is for Star Blazers.
No, I know.
Space Battleship Yamato, which is a cartoon I grew up with as a kid. Legitimately, I went through life with knowing only like four, maybe five other people that knew what it was. But then I get online and it's got this enormous following. Clearly, whoever I was talking to just didn't watch the right cartoons.
Clearly.
The figures for that playset, there's only five of them. I've never seen three of them for sale. I have seen a picture of a guy who has two bridges and all five figures. I have not bought the two figures I have seen for sale. They just haven't come up at the right time for me cash-wise, but at some point I would like to get them. The good and the bad part about that particular playset is that it is scaled for 3 3/4, which is dope, but the chairs have arms on them and they're too thin for a G.I. Joe waist. So a G.I. Joe has to sit on the arms of the chairs. Whereas the figures that are for it, they've got these tiny little waists, so they fit in just perfectly.
That is one of the most frustrating things when you find something that is in the right scale. It's specifically vehicles. It's in the right scale, but there's one thing preventing it from working right. Some of the Schleich vehicles I've had to Dremel out. The floor plate so the feet can fit in. The Jurassic Park Jeep from a couple years ago was the same way.
This Battlehawk is like that. It's a 3 3/4 scale vehicle that has a seat for a 5-inch tall or 5-inch wide.
You should try to put like a Sergeant Savage figure in there.
Speaking of Sergeant Savage, while A was playing with the hammer, he goes, huh, and runs off and comes back with the Sergeant Savage Jeep. The ammo box for the machine gun on top of the hammer is the same mold that they used when they made the Jeep for Sergeant Savage.
That's awesome that he picked that out.
Yeah, just in the middle of play, he was like, oh, wait a second.
I've seen this.
When we talk about vehicles being the correct scale, even though they may not be the right line, you just finished up your Sky Patrol set, and I have been waiting for you to finish this. Please, now that it's done, give me the info.
When I grabbed the villain side of the club's Sky Patrol box set, I was obviously tempted to grab the Sky Patrol side, and I did what I always do. I'm like, well, you know, this figure's okay, like this build's subpar, blah, blah, blah. And in my big deal that I've referenced multiple times, I got the Sky Patrol. Obviously, as soon as I had them in hand, I loved them. Then I hit you up with some like ideas that I had. I really want to outfit each character with a vehicle. I kind of went through this thing where I was like, okay, let me look at what the vintage offered, and do I want to try to replicate that? Do I want to rattle can everything silver? Like, I wanted to do something. And I've always liked the idea of, you know, G.I. Joe being a few steps into the future. Even with that, I have in the past struggled with how far in the future I'm willing to make in my own mind. And eventually I did what my gut was telling me to do, and I picked up a very specific A-Wing from Star Wars, Force-resistant A-Wing, which is white and blue, and I had originally bought it for Skydive. I put Skydive with it, and I'm like, man, this looks really good. But then I looked down at Static Line, and I was like, this blue is the same blue as this A-Wing, so here we go. What I thought was, you know, a vehicle for Skydive is now a vehicle for Static Line.
So who did Skydive get?
The Rogue One U-Wing.
Oh, that's a good vehicle, too.
Then I started to struggle. I was toying around the idea of trying to find six individual ships, because once I had started the Star Wars, I was like, all right, they all have to be Star Wars ships, because I want it all to look as unison as possible. But before I had found the U-Wing, I found Kit Fisto's Jedi Starfighter. It is literally the same colors as the club's altitude figure.
Is that the long wedge Jedi fighter, or is it more the Eta 2 with the pop-up wings?
It has pop-up wings, but it's the wedge triangle shape. The green and the orange, they must be the same exact colors as altitude. It is literally perfect. Then I found the U-Wing. The U-Wing actually matches Skydive, like, significantly better than the original A-Wing that I had bought for him. And then, speaking of the other type of starfighter that you had just brought up, I grabbed the Vintage Collection Obi-Wan Jedi Starfighter for Drop Zone, and you actually have the Mace Windu Starfighter, which I'm going to use with Airwave. And the final one is I grabbed a 90s Power of the Force A-Wing that I'm using with Airborne.
So a U-Wing, two A-Wings, a Jedi Fighter, and two Eta 2s.
Yes.
That's going to look really cool. I'm curious on how you're going to display that. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
So I was like scouring Star Wars vehicles to find what anything in tan. And I had toyed around with getting one of the prequels battle tanks with the droids, you know. But then I was like, I want the Sky Patrol to all be in the sky. And I paired everybody up pretty well, I think.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us. This has been the Order of Battle.